I want to share a word with you tonight about overcoming unbelief. You know, the Word of God is full of promises, promises of divine protection, promises of healing, promises of strength and provision and restoration, promises of wisdom and guidance, promises of a closeness and intimacy with the Lord. There's so many promises in the Word of God, and you need to know that all of those promises are for you. So many believers aren't really living in all that God has for them because they simply don't believe the promises are for them. But through Jesus, you need to know that all the promises are available to you. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in Him, it's talking about in Jesus are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. We say the amen. We just get in agreement with the promises of God because He says, in Jesus, all of the promises are yes, yes, yes. You need to know the promises are available to you. The problem is we got to believe the promises. It's by faith that the promises are appropriated in our life. That's how we receive the blessings, the miracles, the answers, those promises being fulfilled. Faith is the key to us living in what God has for us. Jesus says very plainly in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And I say always, God never tells us to do something we can't do. Some people teach this garbage that you can't help it if you don't believe. You either have it or you don't. It's not up to you. Jesus says, have faith in God. And it's up to us to decide that we're going to believe God. It's up to us to make that choice and have faith in God. Over and over, when Jesus ministers to people, He says these things that some consider to be offensive. Well, there were lots of people that were offended at Jesus. Yeah, they crucified Him. We know, right? He said things like Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, let it be to you. Mark 10:52, your faith has made you well. Matthew 15:28, great is your faith, let it be as you desire. Matthew 8:13, as you have believed, so let it be done for you. A man brings his demon-possessed son to Jesus, and in Mark 9:22-24, he says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Can Jesus do anything? Well, yes, He can. The issue is, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Now here is an honest, sincere prayer. He cries out through tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. It's so important, you see, that we believe. It is critical. It's crucial. If we're going to see God move and work in our life, we're going to see the promises fulfilled, answered prayers. I'm telling you, we have to believe. That's the key to receiving what God has for us. And it's unbelief that keeps people from the blessings, the promises that God would do in their life. So we got to overcome unbelief. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. When we don't have faith, it doesn't please God. It's displeasing to God. We're supposed to live by faith, not by sight. We live by faith. He wants us to be a people of faith. I mean, He's a faith God. He spoke the worlds into being. Romans 4:17 tells us He calls those things that be not as though they were. Now, in the world, they call that crazy. But when you're God and you call something that is not as though it is, what happens? It is. It happens. That's who he is. And I just want you to understand that he is a faith God and he works in our lives through faith. This is one of the things about the character and the person of God that a lot of people don't really understand. My prayer tonight is that all of us tonight will understand a little better. And all of us tonight will be a believing people, overcoming unbelief in our life. But we just need to believe the word of God, take him at his word, and stand on the promises. You know, we sang that tonight, and you know, I'd forgotten we were doing that song tonight, but it was good to hear that tonight. Amen. Because those promises, they're for you. And we just need to believe those promises. Whatever the problem we're facing, there's a promise in the word of God for that problem that will get us through. This is one of the reasons, you know, right now we're talking about on Sundays, it is written. This is one of the reasons it's so important that we read the scriptures, because we need to know the promises. Years ago, I was kind of a little bit negative attitude about little God's Promises books, because I felt like that a lot of times people just learned the promises and didn't read the rest of the Word of God. But I tell you, the time that we're living in right now, I wish people would get them some God's Promises books, because they don't even know the promises anymore. We need to know the promises of God. You know, you can just believe anything, but that doesn't make it right and it doesn't work. But when you believe the promises of God, that's powerful. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. You know, all of us have battles. And many times our battles, they come down to this. Can we believe? Because our battles aren't hard for the Lord. All things are possible with God. You know, when that man asked Jesus if he could help him, he had already asked the disciples, and they couldn't do it. And later they came to Jesus and they said, "Lord, why could we not cast him out?" And he told them plainly, because of their unbelief. It's such a critical issue. Whatever we're doing, whether we have a need or we're praying for somebody else, here's the critical issue. Can God do it? Yes! But we have to get rid of the unbelief. We got to believe. We serve a God who does impossible things when somebody believes. But you need to know this. We have to believe. God's will is not automatic. This is one of the issues with a lot of religious doctrine and teaching in the world today. It's like, well, God's will, you know, he's sovereign, so he's going to do whatever he's going to do. Que sera, sera, whatever will be. God's just going to do what he wants to do, his will, whether no matter what you do. That is pure garbage. Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5 that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us, and we know we have the petitions that we've asked of him. He knows what we need before we ask. And yet Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you." Yes, he knows. You see, the world says, why doesn't God do anything? Doesn't he see all the desperate need in our world? Yes, he does. God doesn't move because of need. He moves because of faith. We got to believe and pray and keep the unbelief out. Unbelief undermines our faith. Help my unbelief. I believe the Lord can help our unbelief. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. I believe the Lord's going to help some of us with that tonight through the word of the Lord. But we got to keep that unbelief out. You know, unbelief keeps miracles from happening. When Jesus ministered in Nazareth, his hometown, the Bible tells us this in Matthew 13, 58. Now he did not do many mighty miracles there because of their unbelief. Why? Weren't there needs? I'm sure there were just as many needs there as any of the other places he went. But he didn't do many mighty miracles there because of their unbelief. And I want to tell you, you see, unbelief will limit what God will do in your life. Oh, it doesn't limit the power of God. He is sovereign God. He can do whatever he pleases. But he has chosen to work through faith. And when we don't believe, we're not going to see the mighty things that God would do in our life. Listen to this from Psalm 78, 41 and 42. Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. You see, they just forgot all of the mighty miracles that God had done and didn't believe him. They limited God working in their life. We need to never forget the answers to prayers that we've already had, that we've already seen. Never forget the miracles that God has done. You know, the children of Israel, we read in the Bible how that the first time they came to the promised land, they refused to go in because they were afraid. God had told them, he'd given them the land. And Caleb says, we are well able. But they believed the bad report of those who said the cities were great with walled cities and the people there are giants. We're just like grasshoppers in their eyes. And so they refused to go in. Listen, the walled cities couldn't stop them. The power, the strength of their enemies couldn't stop them. Their own weakness couldn't stop them. The only thing that could stop them was their unbelief. And because of their unbelief, they could never enter in to the promised land that God had for them. And the same is true for us. There are promises that are available to us that we will not experience if we don't keep the unbelief out of our heart and life. Oh, man. I'm in good company. My Savior said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Hebrews 3:19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. No circumstance, no situation, no outside force can stop God's plan and purpose in your life. But we can by unbelief. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. The NIV says, doesn't say think, it says imagine. I just want you to know that God can do more than your wildest imagination. There's no limit to his power. But that power works in our lives as we believe him. We need to see unbelief for what it is. It's really an affront to the character of God. I mean, when he says something and we don't believe it, I don't know about you, but if I say something to my wife or if I say something to my kids and they don't believe what I say, that troubles me. But here's the thing, I've been wrong before. I mess up sometimes. But our God has never messed up. He's never been wrong. He's never lied. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. He cannot lie. Is there something God can't do? Yes, the Bible says he cannot lie. So we need to take him at his word and believe his promises. Where's this unbelief come from? How do we get unbelief? Unbelief comes from listening to the wrong voices, and we hear them a lot most of the time. It started in the Garden of Eden when Eve listened to the serpent, to Satan. She listened to that voice, and because she did, she began to doubt, to question the word of God. She no longer really believed what God had said. We need to realize in this world, most people aren't living by faith. They're not living their life standing on the promises of God. And if we're listening to the things that they say and allowing them to speak into our lives, it's going to bring unbelief, just like it did when the enemy spoke to Eve that day. Our world is so filled with skepticism and all this, you know, well, I'll believe it when I see it. By the way, that's not faith at all. When you see it, it's not faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith. I'll tell you, there's even a lot of believers who are so negative, they'll just tear down your faith if you listen to them. If they're saying something that's contrary to the scripture, to the promises of God, you just need to decide you're not going to listen to that. They start telling you that that promise isn't for you. You just need to close your ears to that and refuse to listen to that kind of stuff, because it will tear down and undermine your faith. And I have to tell you that unbelief, it comes really easy. Anybody can do it. You don't even have to try. And we got preachers, some preachers today, teaching people to not believe. You don't have to teach people to not believe stuff. That comes really easy. I always say it's cheap and easy to say that. But I know that Jesus taught faith all the time. How does faith come? Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, the way to overcome unbelief, I tell you, it starts with the word of God. That is the basis, the foundation. That's what our faith rests on, is always the word of God. And we need to hear it over and over again. You know, we listen to negative things and all the time in our world, and we get just a little bit of the word of God. It's not enough. Oh, we need to feed ourselves the word of God every day, filling our heart and mind with the promises of God. Get it down inside of us. In Romans 10:14, it says, how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So you can't believe something that you've never heard. But here's what I've seen. Over the years, I've seen it again and again and again, that when healing is preached, the more that it's preached, the more people believe. And if it's never preached, people don't believe in it. And that's true with so many things. We need to hear it. We need to see it in the word of God for ourselves. But the more that we feed upon the word of God, it will strengthen our faith so that we can truly believe. And we're living in this time where, especially through all of the different types of media, we just have voices, 1,000 voices coming at us every single day. What are we going to do? I'll tell you one thing you can do is turn it around. Use that stuff for good.
You don't need a God's promises book.
You can just ask Google for some promises from the scripture on healing or some promises for how to have peace. It'll bring some up for you. Now, I'm going to tell you, don't get your doctrine from Google. But you can ask it where a scripture is, and it'll tell you. We need to be feeding ourselves the scripture all the time. And when you're going through a hard time, you need to get a hold of some verses of scripture. And you don't just hear them once or read them once, but you go over them and over them until you get them down inside of you. Until you can quote it. Until it just burns inside of you like a fire shut up in your bones. That's what Jeremiah said. We need that. Fill our hearts and our minds with the Word of God. You know, for thousands of years, people made good use of the Word of God, meditating it, memorizing chapters, even whole books of the Bible. But it's amazing how now we just can't seem to find the time or the focus to do that. I'll tell you, we need to strengthen our faith and get the unbelief out. And the only way to do that is through the Word of God. We need to read it and listen to it, meditate on it. You know, the Bible says, we're going to read it in just a minute, but it says to meditate on it day and night. And when the Bible uses the word meditate, it's not some weird thing. It just means that you go over it and over it. It's to mentally digest it, that you just keep thinking about it and saying it to yourself. And it's amazing how often that when you do that, it becomes real to you. And you begin to understand it in a deeper way. But you get it down inside of you. Anybody obsessing over the news and all the turmoil going on in our world? How we need to just focus on the scripture. Feed ourselves the scripture. Listen. Great peace have they who love his law. You see, when we just focus on the scripture and get that down inside of us, I'll tell you, we can have peace in the midst of everything that's going on. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. See, we're spending way too much time listening to the ungodly and the sinners and the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight. Say, oh, it's not my delight. Well, you need to get a hold of this verse right here. You need to start speaking this over your own life. My delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Even in the bad times, whatever's going on with the economy, whatever's going on in this crazy world, that man is still going to prosper. God's going to take care of him. What if this is true? Do some Christians think this is just some nice piece of literature to read? Good grief. We need to believe what the promises of God's word say. And I'm telling you, this is so powerful. If we meditate therein day and night, you'd be like a tree planted by the river's water. Even when there's a drought, even when everything's going wrong in this world, God's going to take care of you. I mean, if we just believe these simple verses, it'd change our life. Good times and bad. The one that delights himself in the law of the Lord, he's going to be all right. But I want to tell you, the Word of God will help you overcome unbelief, but it's going to take more than a minute. It ain't microwavable. Meditate therein day and night. Stop listening to the wrong voices. One of the worst voices you can listen to is religious tradition and false doctrine. They undermine faith. I said it, but Jesus never taught unbelief. He always taught believing. The Pharisees undermined people's faith. I mean, Jesus doing all this healing and ministering to people and deliverances happened. That none of that stuff fit in with their system. And it's the same today. There's actually whole denominations that teach against faith, especially faith for anything besides salvation. All the promises are just for back then. You don't need a God's promise book. That's not for you. That's what they believe. Is he still our shepherd? Well, they like to read it at a funeral because it's pretty. It's more than that. I believe Jesus is the good shepherd. I believe the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's going to take care of me. I don't have to be discontent and upset like the world, always needing something else to be happy. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know how you lie down in green pastures? Because you're completely content. Leads me beside the still waters. I got peace. Is there a promise of protection here? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. His rod and his staff comfort me. He's with me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I'm just telling you, you see all these wonderful promises of the Word of God. And if we believe Psalm 23 is for us, well, how about Psalm 91? No evil shall befall you. No plague shall come nigh your dwelling. Oh, now, preacher, weren't you just sick a couple of weeks back? I sure was. I mean, it was official. I was as sick as a dog. Here's what I know. You see, just because we believe and we have faith doesn't mean you're not going to have battles. It doesn't mean you're not going to go through some things. That's why we need our faith. It's so we will stand and believe in the midst of the battle that we still believe God. Even when it doesn't look right, we still believe. We're not walking by what we see. We're walking by faith. In the midst of the storm, when the battle's raging, that's when you stand in faith. Have faith in God. That's what Jesus said. I know there's some that have gone to extreme in certain teachings. And make no mistake about this. We need to be taught to believe. We need to hear the Word of God that builds our faith. You don't need to be taught to not believe. Listen to the teaching of Jesus. Well, let me just, before I read this, I'm going to read Mark 11, 24, but I just want to say, I'm not talking about name it and claim it. I'm talking about believe it and receive it. Here's why. Mark 11, 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Oh, believe you receive them and you will have them. Oh, now preacher, can it just be that easy? I know, I understand. A lot of times we think that we're at a place of faith and we think we're praying according to the will of God and we didn't see it yet. Believe that you receive them and you will have them. That's the promise of his word. And I'm just going to take the easy road out here tonight. I'm just going to tell you, I'm preaching what he said. And if you don't like it, you won't have to talk to him about it. Because this is what he taught. Jesus taught this. And he didn't just teach it for the ones that were standing there. I mean, Mark didn't even write this gospel till decades later. It's written for us that we might believe. I'm not talking about some fantasy faith where you just make up whatever you want to believe. I'm talking about basing your faith on the Word of God and what the Word of God says. If he said it, that ought to settle it for us. But unbelief, it comes from focusing on the circumstances. You know, the children of Israel, that was their problem. They saw the power of their enemies and they saw the walled cities. They were focused on the circumstances instead of God. Peter, when he began to walk on the water to Jesus, I mean, he's walking on the water. Come on. Does it matter if it's windy and the waves are up? I don't know. But he began to look at the wind and the waves and he started to sink. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. We got to stay focused on him and not allow ourselves to just look at the circumstances. You can't go by what you see. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence of things not seen. Some people only believe what they see. But when you have faith, it's the evidence. It's the proof. You got any evidence to back up what you're saying? Faith is the evidence. It's the proof of something you can't see. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Because you can, listen, you can take God at his word. We ought to, as believers, we ought to have such strong faith that we believe what God says more than what we see. Because the word of God takes precedent over the things we see. 2 Corinthians 4:18, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, everything in this world is subject to change. There will come a day when this world will pass away. It'll burn with a fervent heat, the Bible says. But his words, he says his words will never pass away. They're going to stand. Next, touched on this, but I want you to really get this. Unbelief comes from familiarity. I'm going to read that. Where Jesus went to his hometown, Matthew 13:53-58. It came to pass when Jesus finished these parables, he departed from there. And when he came to his own country, he taught them in the synagogue. And they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother Mary, called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, are not they all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and his own house. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. In Mark's gospel, it says he could not. But you see, this is Jesus, the Son of God, that raised the dead, did so many mighty miracles, and here he didn't do any mighty miracles because of their unbelief. Why? Why was there such a problem with unbelief here? Because they knew who he was, the carpenter's son, and we know his brothers and his sisters, and he's nobody. I want to tell you, a lot of the time we don't believe because of familiarity. Let me just give you an example. Every Sunday, and sometimes on Wednesday, we have an opportunity for people to come down here and be prayed for. And sometimes people are sick. They have loved ones who are going through a terrible time. They don't come for prayer. You know why? Too familiar. It's no big deal. It's just those people. It's just Pastor Mark. It's no big deal. If Jesus showed up here in a long white robe like everybody pictures him, or some artist's rendition, and he's down here, anybody want prayer, people be running down here. Or maybe if Brother Big Shot was here. Do you know that a lot of times when people go to a special meeting somewhere, a lot of people actually do get healed? You know why? because they actually believed that something was going to happen if they went there. And I'm just telling you, God uses ordinary people. Believers lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You call for the elders of the church. They anoint them with oil. They pray the prayer of faith and the Lord will raise them up. Yes. See, we just need to get rid of that stinking familiarity attitude. God can use our brothers and sisters. We need to believe and expect miracles. Not have the attitude of just, well, it's just another Sunday. You see what happened to these people. It was their familiarity with Jesus that kept them from believing and receiving the mighty miracles that he could have done there. Unbelief. Unbelief comes from hardness of heart. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. An evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. See, many times, the further and the longer that somebody goes into sin, the harder their heart gets and the more there's unbelief in their life. So how do we get rid of unbelief? I'm going to run through this real quick. First, you've got to stay full of the Word of God. Read it, listen to it, meditate it day and night. Number two, to get the unbelief out, you need to stay focused on Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Here it is. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. As long as our eyes are on Jesus, we can believe. Get rid of unbelief by listening, by not listening to the wrong voices. Instead, listen to people that talk faith and speak the Word of God. Encourage one another daily. We just read that. To get rid of unbelief, well, you got to soften your heart. Sin hardens your heart, but there's a way to soften your heart. It's in true and sincere repentance. And I tell you, if you have sin in your life, it'll just continue to harden your heart and get you where you just don't believe God for anything. But true and sincere repentance will soften your heart. And when we overcome our unbelief, I want to tell you we can overcome anything in this world. 1 John 5:4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Overcome unbelief, you can overcome anything this world throws at you. And I want to go back to where we started, 2 Corinthians 1:20. All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen to the glory of God through us. Don't stop believing the promises. Don't stop believing the answer is on the way. Don't stop believing that your breakthrough is coming. Don't stop believing your victory's coming. Amen. Don't stop believing. You and your household will be saved. See? There's so many promises. Don't stop believing those promises. Don't allow unbelief to rob you of what God wants to do in your life. And don't stop thanking God for the victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Stand with me. We're going to pray.